This is Startups for Erasmus, episode 163. Welcome to Startups for Erasmus, the podcast that helps developers, designers, and entrepreneurs be awesome at launching software products, whether you built your first product or you're just thinking about it. I'm Mike.
And I'm Rob.
And we're here to share our experiences to help you avoid the same mistakes we've made. What's the word this week, Rob?
December's a good time to be post-launch, I've decided. It feels a little bit like a calm after the storm of launch and a calm before the storm of kind of restarting marketing in January. Obviously, I'm referring to drip. It's just been kind of a time for me to come off of some pretty stressful and kind of high hour count weeks in November. I mean, I feel like things are starting to slow down, starting to ease into the holidays. We have a nice big backlog of features that we're cranking out. I keep saying this phrase of I'm cocking the crossbow. Like, I feel like I'm pulling back that mechanism and loading up, you know, I'm having blog posts created and some content marketing stuff and banner ads and all types of ad campaigns. I'm getting suited up to do to just pummel the earth with, scorch the earth with in January. So that's kind of what's on my agenda. Nothing new in terms of actual marketing. You know, I'm not executing anything right now, but just building up that stockpile so I can start off 2014 with a bang. How about you?
Well, you remember all the auto-generated content project that I put together like a month or two ago and put out there and was waiting for Google to come in and index all that?
Yeah, that was like Breck Palumbo and Patrick McKenzie had suggested that.
Yeah. So I followed through with that, and Google finally decided to come through and index everything. I've got something like 600 or 650 pages indexed in Google now, and my organic search traffic has increased roughly 50 to 100%.
Very nice. That's awesome.
The weird thing is that it seems like Google is slowly adding content to their indices over time. So not everything, it's kind of weird because I go into the webmaster tools and they are showing that they have indexed 600 pages, but it says that it's not actually looking at more than, I think, 150 of them for some reason. It's some weird number that they have in there. And you can see the graph of that number is increasing over time, and I'm not quite sure what it means.
Yeah, I had this happen with Hittail when I first moved it over. I moved the blog to a subdomain and did some other tweaking. And at first, Google wouldn't index anything. And the more links I built and the more people started talking about it on social media, the more of the site Google would index. It's like if you have high authority, it'll index everything, but you have to get there first. You know, I think if you just released a brand new domain and you released 1,000 pages of content, Google is not going to index that because they only have so many resources. And so that's my guess of what's happening is as your site is gaining authority in Google's eyes, then they're able to slowly add pages into their index. And eventually they'll get, after a while, Hittail went from 200 and it's up, I think it's up over 1,000 pages index now. So I'd imagine the same thing could happen to you.
Yeah, so I'm hoping that that'll continue and I just kind of have to watch it for a little while.
Very cool. Yeah, and hopefully that traffic converts reasonably well. I know that long tail traffic in general doesn't convert as well as more targeted traffic, but if you get them on an email list, you know, email mini course and funnel them into, well, just kind of into your funnel, I guess, decent way to handle it and you can convert some of them and make it worth a while.
Well, I do have drip installed, so that's certainly helping.
Indeed. So I wanted to mention a site. It's called useronboard.com and it's been getting some traction in recent weeks. It's basically a critique of user onboarding for big sites that you've heard of like Vimeo and Netflix. He did Trello and Less Accounting and Basecamp. And the site is getting, you know, a lot of buzz. It was funny. I followed it through and it actually put out by my growth hacker intern. And he didn't tell me about it. I found it like actually through social media. His internship ended with me about 10 days ago. And he's now, you know, back to doing consulting work and that kind of stuff. And so he launched this site. He and I had a couple conversations about it, but I didn't know what domain he was going to use and didn't really know he was going to do these PDFs critiquing it. But apparently he said it's really taken off and it's doing well. So it's a cool idea, both from two sides. One, just to check out the onboarding. He knows onboarding. Like that's what he's done for a couple years. He's very knowledgeable about it. So it's neat to see the feedback he gives. It's also interesting to think about, you know, he went from zero audience to, I'll just say, a sizable little email list in a matter of weeks just by putting himself out there and leveraging his expertise. And he had already planned to write an ebook on this topic and release it, but this just gives him even more of an excuse. He's now validated that there is a need for this type of content. So if you have a few minutes, check out useronboard.com.
The other thing I have going on is I went to my email list and invited a bunch of the Linux users into my early access program. So I sent out invitations directly to about half dozen of them. But one of the things that I've started to realize in talking to people, like, because some people would just email me back and just say, hey, I don't think I'm a good fit, but really like what you're doing. And once my business gets to this point, that, you know, I'd really like to be able to see what Audit Shark can do and can help me lock down my servers, because this is also a problem that I have. And I've had enough of these conversations that I'm leaning heavily towards creating a special bootstrapper tier specifically aimed at people who can't necessarily afford like the full pricing for Audit Shark. And that's primarily because I built Audit Shark to kind of raise the general bar of how secure the internet is and how secure people's servers are out there. So for me, it's not necessarily all about the money. I mean, obviously I want to make money from it, make a living and everything, but at the same time, I want to help other people secure their servers. And there are people out there who are building stuff which it may not necessarily be secure, and they just don't know what they're doing, and they are freely willing to admit that, but they still need help. So I'm looking at creating some sort of a bootstrapper tier specifically aimed at those people so that they can get at least some sort of protection in a way that doesn't break the bank for me. So it's not necessarily a freemium model. It's kind of like a, I'll say some weird hybrid model, I guess.
Dharmesh called it a cheapium model, where it's cheapium. He said you basically price it kind of at cost, what it costs you for the resources and maybe to support it, but you don't make any profit. I hear what you're saying. I'm a little hesitant to endorse it. My big concern would be that if you get 50 or 100 people on this bootstrap startup plan and you really aren't making any profit, it sucks a lot of resources away from your core profits, basically. And given that you're not venture funded and that you do need to make money, and that's the goal, it's a tough call. It's not something I would bite off early on in the product's life cycle.
Yeah, I understand that. I mean, the other side of it is that it also gives me the ability to talk to these people who would use it if it were priced for them, and they're more than happy to start using it and give me feedback that, because a lot of the, I'll say the solid leads and stuff that I'm getting from people are much higher price points, and they take much, much longer to make the decisions. So I'm getting a lot of bites in that area, but it's taking much longer to kind of push those people through the sales funnel, and I'm basically looking for feedback now. I don't want feedback 4 months. I want feedback now.
Yeah, that makes sense. My concern is that you're going to get feedback from people who aren't willing to pay for it or aren't willing to pay very much for it. So I'm not sure that, I don't think that that's as good a feedback as if you can just find customers who are willing to pay the full price. I know what you're saying. You have enterprise people who are going to be in the four figures a month range. It's going to take you 6 months plus to close them. It's tough. You know the product better than anyone. But I think the market itself is still unknown. And before I went to like a cheapium model, I think you have other roads, avenues to explore.
Well, like I said, I'm still looking at it.
Yeah. I do. Well, here's the thing. If you could do an unpublished version of that, right? You could let 5 people in and not make it something they can sign up to from the website. But as you're having conversation, just be like, all right, I can give it to you for way less than list price and basically break an even and then get their feedback. That can't hurt.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking that I would, you know, put it out there as like, oh, click here and get cheapium pricing, I'll call it. I actually have my developer working on some stuff so that allow me to do some price testing. One of the things that the stuff he's working on would allow me to do is just create a code that I can send to somebody, and it would create a very specific pricing tier for them to say, okay, well, you've entered such and such code, so you'll get this many servers, this will be the price point, etc. So that way it's more based on one-on-one conversation. It's not something that you go in and it's like, oh, it's $5 a month per server or something like that. Because, you know, the business obviously can't support that.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. Not a bad way to go. Yeah, I mean, remember when Richard White talked about launching User Voice, and we did an episode about that, he said that they discounted a lot of their tiers, that they priced them high and then they offered pretty big discounts. And I think the average discount was 40 or 50%. Not unheard of. But I have one other topic of conversation before that. It was tweeted to me this week, but I think both of our opinions probably valid. It was from Breck Palumbo. He's at Brectify on Twitter, or he would pronounce it at Breckify. Breck Palumbo did an attendee talk at MicroConf last year. He's a longtime Micropreneur Academy member, lifetime member, and he has distressedpro.com. It's his business that he does full-time, and he also runs the Bootstrapped with Kids podcast. And he tweeted and he said, I need a better business stats review regimen. Would love to hear about yours, maybe a podcast episode. So I don't think we need to devote a whole episode to this because my regimen isn't that involved. Here's what I do. Basically, I have businesses I'm actively working on. So in today, that's Drip. And then I have businesses that are more in the background. So that would be everything else that you see at the, you know, if you go to thenumagroup.com, you see the other apps I have. All of those other ones are basically, they're not backburnered because that sounds like I'm ignoring them, but they are basically moving along well, they're being supported, but no major time investment is coming from me. And so with the first category, so the Drip, the current thing I'm actively working on, I am pretty much checking stats daily. I have a bookmark in Chrome. I have a little folder with a list of bookmarks, and it says daily on it. That's what the folder is called. And I right-click on that folder, and I say open all bookmarks in new tabs, and poof, it just opens them all. And this basically brings me into right to the exact page in Google Analytics with the time, you know, with the date range that I want to see. It has Google Analytics. It has Perfect Audience, which I use for retargeting. It has any ads. If I'm currently running ads on any networks, it has those pages in there. So this thing is in flux. When I stop ads, I will pull it out of this list. And then it also has the dashboard of Drip itself. At other times, as I'm doing active things, they'll make their way in here. So sometimes this will only open 3 or 4 pages, and other times it can open 6 or 7 different pages. And I will look at this at least once a day when I'm working with Drip. And if I'm actively running ads and doing a high ad spend, I will sometimes look at it every hour or two. Not all the pages, but just the ad spend, because things move quickly during the business day. And in addition to that, when billing runs every night, I get an email and I almost always pop in, typically from my phone because it's in the evening, and I check out the dashboard to see what happened, you know, see what the billing was, what the expected billing is for the month, see how things have changed, what the churn is, blah, blah, blah. So yes, it all depends on risk tolerance. You know, it's like if you want to look at this only once every few days, then something could go wrong and you could risk basically losing money or not making as much money. And so when I'm actively doing stuff, that's where I am. When I have a less active app, like let's say Hittail, where I'm not out there actively hardcore marketing it and pushing it, I will typically check Google Analytics once a week, sometimes once a month. There are some, you know, of my apps that have been on autopilot even longer. And those I really do about once a month, right around the time that I'm doing end of month financials. I'll go through all the Google Analytics and just check through to make sure there was no big drop. Now, again, this depends on your risk tolerance, because you could feasibly lose 3 or 4 weeks worth of traffic or worth of sales if you haven't been paying attention to that stuff. So you need some confidence that things are going to continue to go the way they have been if you are not looking at analytics or sales for 3 or 4 weeks at a time. But anyways, that's how I break it down. And that's what the process I've developed over the past couple of years. How about you, Mike?
Well, for Audit Shark, I get a daily email that gives me all the important things that are going on. It will tell me, for example, off the top of my head, I know that it tells me how many customers are currently in there, how many components, which a component is either an agent or it's an agentless audit that's been set up for a Linux machine. So I know how many servers that the system is designed to be auditing or is to set up to be auditing. And then it also tells me the number of control points and checks, so that when my developer adds in new ones, I can see that they're being added in on a daily basis. And then beyond that, I'd say probably once a week or so, I go into Postmark app and take a look to see the outgoing emails and just making sure that there's no problems. I also get a weekly report from them that tells me how many emails went out on the previous week. Beyond that, I also use Dig My Data to take a look at, basically to keep track of the Twitter feed in terms of the number of followers that it's gaining over time. I've more than doubled it, almost tripled it in about a month to a month and a half. So it went from around, I think it was at maybe 170 or so, probably 2 months ago. And right now it's right around 950 or pretty close to 1,000.
Jeez, very nice.
So yeah, that's going extremely well. Just continues going up. I mean, and there's a huge jump, you know, kind of as I start figuring things out, it just jumps dramatically. And then, you know, the standby Google Analytics, I take a look at that at least once a week, if not 2 or 3 times a week, just to kind of see what's going on across some of the different sites. Because it's nice to have that dashboard where it's got everything in there. And then I do this, like I said, I do the same thing with Dig My Data, where I use it as a dashboard where I keep track of multiple products and things that I'm working on.
Very good. Thanks for the question, Breck. Hope that helps. So let's dive into our goals. Let's take a look back at 2013, look what we had, the goals we'd set up for ourselves, and then we'll dive into what we're looking to do over the next 12 months.
So my first goal from last year was to stop writing code. And I think within a week or two of stating that as a goal, I said that I didn't really want to do it because I actually enjoy writing code. I haven't really stopped writing code. I still write code here and there, usually for bug fixes or things that need to get done quickly. A lot of times I'll take the stuff that needs to get done and outsource it. But if there's stuff that is extremely time sensitive, maybe it needs to be done the next day or, you know, only a couple of days away, and I don't necessarily have the time to hand it off to somebody, I'll just do it. I usually handle a lot of the smaller bug fixes as well. Like, so if a customer comes up with something and it's just not working quite the way that they want, or if there's errors that are getting thrown, then I'll handle those. But for the most part, I don't write, I'd say, a lot of the core code anymore. I'm basically handing that off, doing much more high-level design than most of the implementation.
Very nice. Yeah, getting away from code is always hard, I think, for both of us. Even I'm still writing code at this point because I just enjoy it too much. So my first goal for 2013 was to grow Hittail by 2.5x, and that was based on the October revenue, which I think is when I kind of had I had a personal retreat and made this goal. I didn't make 2.5x. I did get to 2x'd Hittail from October revenue, which was a five-figure number already. So it wasn't, you know, it's not a small amount. The reason I didn't hit 2.5, well, there's two reasons. One is that I did start to back off of it to do MicroConf, and then that led right into Drip. And so I didn't have as much time as I'd like to devote to it. The other reason is that Google did their not provided thing, and I saw it coming and started backing off of some of the marketing spend earlier, even before Google announced it a couple months ago. And so that had definitely had an impact on the growth. Now, I've already talked about on the podcast, you know, some efforts that I'm going to be undertaking to kind of get around that, but we'll see how it goes in 2014.
My next one was to launch Audit Shark publicly, and I would say that I've gone ahead and done that, even though I'm still working through the early access list and, you know, slowly onboarding people and making sure that the system can handle it as they come on. But I mean, you can go to the site and sign up right now. There's nothing stopping you. But like I said, I'm working through the early access list with people just to, you know, give them a little bit more handholding, and anyone who's signing up through that is going to end up getting some sort of a discount. I haven't fully published any of that stuff, but there is different pricing for the early access people versus the public pricing.
My second goal was to launch Drip in the spring, and then I had a 6-month revenue mark that I wanted to hit. And so I did not launch Drip in the spring. It really started having paying customers around June, so it was more summer. And then somewhere in there, it's hard to say really what launch was. You could say it's November, but it was already doing in the thousands, the low four figures before then. So I'd say, you know, it launched in late summer or early fall. I have not hit the 6-month revenue mark. Drip's really only, I mean, I really only worked through the list about 30 days ago. So I do think I'm definitely on track to meet or exceed that 6-month revenue mark, but we'll have to see.
My third goal was to grow to a full-time team of at least 3 people, and nobody who's working on Audit Shark is full-time on it yet right now, but I do have about 5 people that are working at least on a part-time basis in some way, shape, or form related to Audit Shark. So I would say that I definitely did not hit that goal, but there was some partial progress on that.
My third goal was to hold another MicroConf that changed the way people launch their companies. And I wasn't even thinking about MicroConf Europe. I don't think it was an option at the time, but I would say that we achieved that with MicroConf in Vegas, because MicroConf 2013 was, in my opinion, the best one we've done. Looking forward to 2014 for another.
My fourth goal was to help get my wife's fitness business stable and profitable. I'd say that it's pretty profitable. It's not necessarily stable. It's kind of in flux right now, but I don't know whether that's just because of the different partnerships that she's kind of looking at, or whether it's because of the time of year, because December is not exactly any time between Thanksgiving and New Year's is not a great time to try and get people to work out.
Yeah, it's always hard. I've heard the fitness business is unstable by definition.
My understanding is that things really pick up in January because people have put together all these New Year's resolutions. And it's kind of weird that I hear that a lot of fitness studios and gyms have these membership programs where it's like, you know, you get subscribed to them on a monthly basis, and then people will come for a month or two and then will stop coming for 3 or 4 months because they kind of fall off the wagon, and then they go to cancel, and then they find out that there's like this $90 or $120 cancellation fee that goes along with it. So then sometimes they'll delay a little bit more because they're like, oh, I don't want to have to pay that. But at the end of the day, they're going to have to pay it to cancel anyway, which is kind of weird to me. But you'd think that if you sign up for it, then, you know, you're good to go whenever you decide to cancel. But that's just not how it works.
Right. Kind of like you mentioned what businesses have hold their customers hostage.
Yes.
Sounds
yes.
a little like that. So my fourth and final goal from last year, from 2013, was to release 3 video training courses. The first was a video about hiring virtual assistants. And that's at startupvacourse.com. I did get that one done. About 3 months into the year, I figured that I wasn't going to make the other two. With MicroConf taking up as much time as it did, and then with a drip being pushed basically back on the launch, it just didn't seem like the best idea. You know, and I wanted to work on my software products instead of focusing on another video course. I would love to do another video course in 2014. I think 3 is just too ambitious. Recording it wasn't the hard part. It was getting all the meta stuff together and getting it uploaded and getting, I uploaded to Udemy and then getting the marketing done. And the course was profitable, but it's not worth the number of hours that I spent on it compared to what I can do with an app like Drip that has recurring revenue tied to it. So we'll see what happens in 2014 if I do another one. It definitely was a lot of fun to put it together, but I think like MicroConf, it's a lot of effort for kind of a one-time pop or just a one-time launch. So I've kind of for now set my sights on more of the recurring stuff.
For my last goals, the one was to write a security book to assist with the marketing behind Audit Shark. And I'd say I pulled back from that pretty early on just because I knew that it was going to be a big undertaking. So that's still on the back burner. At some point, I'll revisit that. It'll probably actually be pushed into this year. I just haven't gotten back to it, mainly because I've been involved with Audit Shark. And then the last one was to cut 75% of my travel consulting. And I haven't cut 75%. I probably cut maybe 20%. So I'm still working on that. When customers are paying that much for, an 8 or 10 or 20 week project, they kind of want to see your face.
Very good. So let's dive into what we have in mind for 2014. It's early December, so we kind of have 13 months to dig through these, and it looks like we each have 5 goals. You want to kick us off with the first thing you're looking to do?
Sure. So the first one is to obviously go full-time on AutoShark. And it seems like the product actually launched at this point and on the path to having some real revenue. I feel like that is something that I should be able to achieve.
Very nice. For me, my first goal is to 5X Drip. Since Drip is still in somewhat early stages, 5X is, I think, a doable goal. It's definitely ambitious and it's beyond what I had in the original marketing plan, but things have been going well so far, and so I want to set my sights high. So we'll see if I can get there.
My next one, as I said before, was to work on that security book. So my goal for the end of this coming year is to finish the security book and have it out there as a additional marketing avenue for Audit Shark.
My second goal is to do some work on Hittail. This is actually a short-term goal. Really, I expect to have Hittail back providing the full value that it was before the Google not provided fiasco. I hope to do that in the next 30 to 60 days. But what that means is then I'll, resume some of the marketing and kind of do another push. So the goal here is a little loose. It's to get Hittail back on track. I don't necessarily have a revenue growth goal because I won't be hammering on it as much as I do Drip, but I want to get it back to where it was pre not provided, get the marketing spend going again.
My third goal is to get back to blogging and writing a little bit more. I've started doing this probably more over the last month than anything else. I've got a few different blog posts that I've got queued up. But one of the things that I did was I actually started putting together a real email list for my blog. So it's not very large right now, but if anyone is interested and wants to go sign up, you can go to singlefounder.com. I will be posting probably about every other week. I do have several posts that are kind of already queued up. And my goal is to publish 26 blog posts through that email newsletter by the end of the year.
My third goal for 2014 is to throw 2 microconfs in a sustainable manner. And what I mean by that is in a way where you and I aren't so tied to it in terms of all the labor being done. We were lucky to land Dan Taylor to help us run the microconf in Prague, and that took quite a bit of the labor off of us. But now I'm thinking, what are we going to do in Vegas? Because it just takes too much time. And we want to keep doing it, and we want to keep making it better every year, but I want to figure out how to make that more sustainable so that it doesn't detract from the other things that both you and I are trying to do.
My fourth goal is to take a real extended vacation. And by extended vacation, I mean at least 2 weeks, maybe more. I took a vacation earlier this summer, which it was only about a week long. My family and I went over to Niagara Falls, took the kids out there and went on the Maid of the Mist, and basically took an extended road trip through upstate New York and went up into the Adirondacks and went camping. I guess I shouldn't call it camping. I have a cottage up there, so it's not really roughing it or anything. But it was a lot of fun, and it was very relaxing. And even though I don't think there was a time where I didn't have internet access in some way, shape, or form through my phone, but it was just nice to be able to relax in that way. So I think I'd like to extend that a little bit more, and instead of just 1 week, maybe do at least two, maybe more, but we'll see how things go.
My fourth goal for 2014 is to relaunch micropreneur.com, the Micropreneur Academy, with you. And we've been in some early talks to figure out what to do next, because the Micropreneur Academy has been around for, 4 years now, and it just needs some reworking. And so we've started putting some brain power into that, looking at the changes that need to be made, and no exact decisions made yet, but I think that will be coming here in early 2014. I think our goal is to get it out before MicroConf Vegas. That's definitely going to be time intensive to get that done. As such, I have it on the goals list here. And if you haven't ever checked out the Academy, it's at micropreneur.com. If you have checked it out in the past, know that we will be expecting to release something new, or kind of a revamp of it, in the next several months.
My last goal is to make a conscious effort to improve my health, just in general. But specifically, one of my goals is to lose about 2.5% of my BMI by the time MicroConf. It's about 10 pounds or so. There's obviously differences between losing weight versus losing some fat off of your body and just becoming generally healthier. So I've actually been going to the gym quite a bit more than I probably have all year. Things are going reasonably well so far. So as long as I don't blow up my ankle or anything like that, then I should be okay.
Nice. So my fifth goal is an honorable mention. And what I mean by this is it was an unpublished goal in 2013, and I have it there in case I get everything else done and have extra time. But it's fallen off the list the last 2 years, and I frankly don't think I will get to it in 2014, but it's something that's been on my mind, and that's to do a second edition of Start Small, Stay Small. You know, like the Academy, it's been out there for several years, and it could use some updating, and I just have so many new thoughts that aren't in that book. So we'll see. It would either be late in 2014, or it may move up the list in 2015. Before we started mentioning these goals, we probably should have prefaced it, but I guess we'll just do a postscript here. I think it's important for people to understand why we set these goals. I know that as a goal-oriented person, if I don't have these on the list, then I can tend to wander. It's pretty easy when you're bootstrapped, especially if you don't have a founder. You don't really have a ton of accountability. And so these goals are part of what keeps me accountable to continuing to push hard over the next year. And I will show probably most of these goals to my mastermind groups. These are written down in my note, my idea notebook that I always talk about. And I will come back to them over and over this year. And although they're not an exact blueprint of what's going to happen, I do have a general time frame of how each of these play out. Probably the month or two, the 60-day period when I think they'll each be completed. And especially with growing drip, I do have a month-by-month timetable of where I think I can get and, how hard it's going to be to get there. I threw out, I want a 5x drip. I didn't pull that number out of thin air because it's a nice round number. I actually looked at how much traffic I think I can drive. I took a percentage of how many people I think will convert to trial. I looked at our trial to paid conversion. I looked at churn. I threw all this, these numbers into a machine, and it gives you kind of a range. And I picked the number that I think that I can hit, but that's definitely ambitious. So these goals will absolutely drive me over the next 12 to 13 months. And without them, I find that I tend to wander and I tend to hear about some new project or hear about a new idea. I get email pitches all the time to do stuff that sounds like fun. And the problem is if I don't have these goals to keep me tethered to what I really want and to what I picked out by spending hours and hours of thinking, what do I want in 2014, then I will tend to wander. I think most of us do too. It's entrepreneurial ADD. And we see a lot of folks who do just wander from one thing to the next. And my guess is that having goals could be some type of tether to keep them centered around that. Is that similar to your reason for setting goals, or do you have others?
No, it is. And it's funny that you mentioned that you would show this to your mastermind group and let them know what your goals were, because speaking of masterminds, one of the things that I do is I take a lot of notes for our mastermind group. So usually what I'm doing is I'm taking notes, and anytime somebody talks and says, these are the things that I've done, these are the things that I plan on doing next week, I basically take all the things that everyone says that they were planning on doing next week and then putting them into an email. And right after the mastermind group meeting is over, I send that email to everybody. So I send it to all three of us. And then I also send one using Boomerang for 1 week later so that it goes out the following week. And that way, at the beginning of the week, everybody gets these. So it's not like there's 2 weeks in between and you're rushing. It's like, oh, it's Monday. We've got our mastermind group meeting tomorrow. Let me try and squeeze all these things in that I was supposed to be working on for the past 2 weeks. And instead, they get that email reminder right away. These are the things you should be working on. At least start on them sooner rather than later. And then you get that follow-up in kind of in between. And I think that that helps people to stay on task because, as you said, some of these things are – there's a really long amount of time between them. You said that in order for you to 5X drip, it's not like that's going to happen overnight. There's different goals and milestones that you're going to need to be able to meet. I mean, you got to get to 2X before you get to 5X. And there's kind of a clear path of progression for being able to do that. And I think being able to refer back to these goals helps keep you focused on the things that you should be working on. And if you're getting pulled in directions that are not necessarily in line with those goals, then you really need to reconsider whether or not that's something you should be doing.
So if you're looking for some public accountability, I'd encourage you to sit down, take a couple hours, hopefully away from email and away from the distractions of family, and try to think of what you hope to achieve in 2014. And we'd love to see a few of your goals. Since Mike and I have shared ours here, we'd love to see a few of your goals in the comments section of this episode, startupsfortherestofus.com, and it's episode 163. If you have a question for us, call our voicemail number at 888-801-9690 or email us at questions@startupsfortherestofus.com. Our theme music is an excerpt from We're Out of Control by Moot, used under Creative Commons. Subscribe to us in iTunes by searching for Startups or by RSS at startupsfortherestofus.com, where you'll also find a full transcript of each episode. Thanks for listening. See you next time.